The Sidrei Tara in our Simon, Simon Kuf Tzadi, in this case Sif Katan Tzadi Gimel, has a major breakthrough. And we've spoken about it in the past. Let's go over it one more time. L'chora, the very famous statement of Shmuel on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, that a woman is not Tmeya Benida until she has Hargasha, is nothing more than a reiteration of that which Rabbi Akiva already said in the Mishnah, which is recorded on Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis. And we have two questions to ask, says the Sidrei Tara. Number one, why would Shmuel repeat that which we know already from Rabbi Akiva? And number two, why is it that they, respectively, they derive it from two different Yalfusas, two different drushas? Whereas Rabbi Akiva has the drusha of Ve'isha, Kitia, Zova, Dam, Yeb, Zova, Bipsara, Dam, Velo, Kesem, which tells you that Midaraisa, she's not Tmeya when she finds a Kesem. Shmuel derives it from a different pasuk, because it says Bibsara, and he darshans Achitargish Bibsara. The Sidrei Tara, in his major breakthrough, establishes that Rabbi Akiva is addressing one issue and Shmuel an entirely different issue. Whereas Rabbi Akiva wants to know, where did this dam come from? He's not interested in Hargasha. We find dam on a kesem, and we don't know if it came migufa or if it came mialma. And we'll soon see that Rabbi Akiva derived a very far-reaching conclusion from his drasha of dam velo kesem. Shmuel, on the other hand, is addressing a different issue. Could be that we know exactly where the dam came from. It came migufa, but it came without a hargasha. And there's a special halacha that the Torah said that dam without hargasha is not metame, and that's on a deraisa level. What was the breakthrough of Rabbi Akiva? This was really far-reaching. After all, Rabbi Akiva doesn't know when she finds dam on the kesem, did it come migufa, did it come mialma? And we have a principle, which is true in all Dini Doraisa, so that's Sofik Doraisa L'chumra. The pasuk now, Dam Velo Kesem, is presenting a far-reaching radical conclusion that the principle of Sofik Doraisa L'chumra doesn't apply with regard to Tumas Dam Nida. And the Sidrei Tara gives one example of this. We find Mamzer Vaday Osar Achmona Velo Mamzer Sofik, which means that a mamzer sofek is muta lava bakal, even though, despite the general universal principle of sofek doraisa l'chumra, the Torah simply suspends that principle of sofek lahachmir with regard to mamzeris. The similar thing, as the rabbi mentioned, is in the case of orlas chutzlaretz, that even though orlas chutzlaretz is doraisa, it's halacha l'moshe misinai, but yet, that halacha Moshe Misinai added a proviso that orla in chutzlaretz is only also when it's a vade orla. But if it's a suffik orla, let's say, for example, we don't know what year it is, whatever the suffik might be, then the Torah says that it's not also. And a third example might be the case of tchumen. According to one mandiyomer in Masechta Erevin, it's also in Masechta Beitza, Tchumen is Doraisa, which means the Torah itself prohibits us from walking chutz l'tchum. And now the Isur Doraisa of Tchum, according to that mandiyomer, is going to be relieved, it's going to be lifted by an Erev, which is called an Erev Tchumen, obviously. And we have a principle that says, Halacha kedivrei ha-mekil be'erev. Now, normally we would say that if you have machlokas in Eruv, and you're talking about a Sofik Doraisa, because Tchumen is Doraisa, we would say Sofik Lahachmir. Here, we have a special din that suspends the normal Sofik Doraisa L'chumer and replaces it with Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel B'Eruv, and a similar thing we find in Avelis, according to the Shita that Avelis Yom Rishon Doraisa. Nevertheless, Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel B'Avel, and we don't apply the principle of Sofik Doraisa L'chumra. Now we're adding to that list the case of Sofik Dam, whether it came Migufa or it came Mi'alma, The Torah itself says that in this case, we don't apply the principle of Safek Doraisa L'Chumra, but rather we're going to be making. Shmuel, on the other hand, is introducing a whole nother issue, a whole nother principle. And that is that even if I grant you that this kesem is dam migufa, we're going to soon see that there are such situations in which she finds a kesem and it was definitely migufa. Nevertheless, the Torah says bibsara, there's got to be on a deraisa level at least a hargosh, and in the absence of hargosh, she's not tmeh. What would be, for example, one case where the dam definitely came migufa and yet it was without hargosha? So that's the case of Shmuel. Shmuel says, Bodka karka olam v'yoshva aleha, on daf nun zayinam it pays, Motza dam aleha tahora. She sits down on a karka, after she checked the karka, she knows that there's no dam on the karka. Now, after she gets up, lo and behold, she sees that there's dam, it must have come migufa, but there was no hargosha, and Shmuel therefore says on a deraisa level, she is tahora. So if we put together Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel, we come up with the following conditions that have to be met in order to achieve Tumah D'oraisa in Nida. Number one, we have to know for sure that it came in Gufa. Number two, she has to have Argosha. If we're missing any one of those two conditions, then she's not Tumah D'oraisa. Rabbi Akiva will tell us if we're missing the condition of Vadai Migufa, she's not Tmeya Do'oraisa. Shmuel will tell us if we're missing the condition of Hargosha, she's not Tmeya Do'oraisa. Now, this could have implications in terms of what we call Zayin Nikir. What happens if a woman during Zayin Nikir finds a Kesem? Now, you and I would say the following, that since a kesem is only derabanan, the deraisa, she's not tmeya, then that re'iyas kesem would certainly not undermine her zayin nikiyim on a deraisa level. But yet, there's a possibility of making the following distinction. If we're talking about a kesem, which is safek dam migufa, safek dam mi'alma, which the Torah says is not considered a tumas nida, because the Torah says it's got to be vade and not sofek, then for sure I would assume that in that scenario she doesn't undermine her zayin nikiyim on a deraisa level. But on the other hand, with regard to Shmuel's halacha, when we know it came migufa, but we're not sure, I'm sorry, but she was missing what? A hargosha. In such a case, we might assume, I shouldn't assume, but we might present the possibility, or entertain the possibility, that that would undermine Zayin Nikiyim. Because in the case of Zayin Nikiyim, the issue is not, is she Tmeya through this Re'iyah, is she Tahora through this Re'iyah? That's not what we're dealing with. What we want to know is, do we have Zayin Nikiyim? And it's very possible that once the Dam came Migufa, that Re'iyas Dam Migufa is enough to undermine the Zayin Nikiyim. And you can't say it's a Yom Naki if she had Dam Migufa. I shouldn't have Argosh. Okay, that's as far as generating Tumah is concerned. The Torah says that we will not generate Tumah if she's lacking in Argosha. But on the other hand, it could very well be that it's a Re'iyas Dam. In other words, Shmuel's adding a condition which is external to the Dam itself. The Dam itself is Dam Min HaMokar, and Dam Min HaMokar may be enough to undermine Zayin Nikiyim. And that's the discussion here in the Mechaber and the Rambah. It's very interesting. The Mechaber himself is in Siman Kuf Tzadi, in Seif Mem Aleph. And he doesn't blink. He assumes, without a shadow of a doubt, that any kesem, under any condition, does not undermine the Zayin Nikiyim on a deraisa level. My nafkimina, she's going to have to start counting Zayin Nikiyim again in any event, at least midrabbanan. The nafkimina is tliya, whether we can apply the din of tliya. So please note that The Mechaber Shita in Siman Kuf Tzadi is that we can apply the din of Tliya even in order to salvage her Zayin Nikiyim when she finds a Kesem in Zayin Nikiyim. And I looked up the Mechaber and I found that the Stimas Haloshon seems to indicate very clearly that he's not differentiating between the first 3 days of Zayin Nikiyim, where she has a Cheskas Mayan Pasuach, and the next 4 days of Zayin Nikiyim, where she's already got a Mayan Sosom. All those distinctions fall apart. And he writes that in a case where she could be Tole the Kesem, Lav Shechaluk, etc., Hishila Le Gaya, which can be one of the famous cases of Tliya, that during a certain period of time, another woman was wearing her chalok, and then she gets it back and she finds a kesem. She doesn't know if it's her kesem or the other woman's kesem, right? That's going to be one of the classical complicated issues of Tliya. In this case, the other woman was a goyita, so then everybody agrees that you could be tola because the goyita has a cheskas tumen in any event. If the other woman was a Jewess who had a cheskas tara, then it becomes more complicated because one of the two is definitely tmea, and you know you can't pass the chazaka back this way and that way and say, well, you know, Rachel has the chazaka, so therefore we'll pin it on Leah. Leah has the chazaka, we'll pin it on her. It's a ping pong game, you go back and forth, so that's going to be complicated. But in this case, where let's say the other woman who borrowed this chalok was a goya, so she has a cheskas tmea as far as nida is concerned, and therefore Tliya would operate. He says that works even during Zayin Nikiyim, and he doesn't differentiate between the first 3 days and the second. The Ramban, on the other hand, makes a comment here: Ayin lekamon siman kuf tzadi vav. So here he tells you to jump ahead to kuf tzadi vav, which I have here. And there the Ramah says what he says here. Here he's already, you know, sort of giving us a coming attractions. You know, he's showing us what's going to come down the line. The Bishloshi Yom Rishonim Shel Zayin Nikiyim Ein Mekilim B'Ksamim Litlos B'Dovrach. There's no din of Tliya during the 3 first days of Zayin Nikiyim, which he reiterates here in Kuf Tzadi Vav, and he says it pretty explicitly. The Vishlosha Yomim Rishonim Shel Yimei Asfira Im Matza Kesem Ein Tolinoso Lahakel. So if we focus our attention for the moment on the Gimel Yomim HaRishonim, okay, we'll talk about that right now, then what the Ramah is saying is that a Kesem is dam that undermines the Zayin Nikiyim. You can't say it's a Yom Naki if she saw a Kesem in the first 3 days, at least. So I think what we might be able to say here is that if we're talking about something that we don't know if it's dam, if it's not dam, and the Torah says it's not dam, you assume it's not dam. If you say Sofik Doraisa Lekula in this particular case, in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference, then it makes sense that that Tliya should be a very viable possibility, that this is not dam nida, and there's nothing to talk about. But if you're talking about Argosha, then I think the absence of Argosha does not necessarily completely negate the dam and the re'ez dam, and therefore the Ramah might be justified in assuming that the kesem, insofar as it's dam without hargasha, would still undermine the status of a yom naki. Again, then you're going to have to ask me, why does the situation change in the second half of her Zayin Nikiyim? And furthermore, even within the context of the first 3 days of the Zayin Nikiyim, the story is complicated. Because here, the Ramah, and this requires a great deal of study, differentiates between two types of Tliya. He says, if this Kesem is Kigris V'od, which excludes the possibility of Tliya on Akima, and therefore the only possibility of Tliya is going to be through this other woman that barred her chalok, or maybe if she was Overis V'shuk Shal Tavachim. In that case, the first 3 days of Zayin Nikiyim have to be Naki Legamre, and there's no Tliya. But he admits that if this Kesem is Pachos Mikagris, Tola Bekina, Afilu B'Shloshi Yom Rishonim, So now we get a little bit more complicated because, okay, so as far as Safek Dam is concerned, we said that certainly that should not undermine Zayin Nekiyim because the Torah says Safek Lekula. So if you're willing to go to Safek Lekula and Haraya, you're willing to be Tola on a Makoles, on a Kinon less than Kigris, then why not say the same thing if she was Overes Mishuk Shel Tabach? So now we get into really nitty gritty detail about different types of Tliya when we say that it came Mi'al. But in any event, he quotes here on page Kufay and Hay. How many of you, by the way, are following inside? I mean, just by show of hands. You are. So if you're following inside, I'll mention the page numbers here, so we'll all be on the same page. So on page Kufay and Hay, in the second line, he quotes a Yeshuas Yaakov, who says that in the case of Dam below Hargosha, which is what we call a Kesem, Soser Kol Shiva Midoraisa. And again, he's not differentiating between the first three and the last three. There's a Marcheshes who wants to make a distinction about Yom Aleph, you know, this, that, very complicated Marcheshes, but in the framework of the Yeshuas Yaakov at least, he was the Rav, I think, in Lvov, and he's of the opinion that there's a steer of Zayin Nekiyim completely on a Doraisa level. And I think what he's talking about is a case where there is no Tliya, and the only problem is that it's a Kesem and not Dam Bar Gosha. And if it's a Vadai Bami Gufa, so now if you want to go back to just the a little bit backwards to the bottom of Kufay and Dalit, about 4 or 5 lines. So Bachain Bevadai Kesem Haba Migufa, and now we're in Shmuel's frame of reference, and Bod Kakarko Olam, etc. El Shiyotza Dam Below Argosha is okay. Shmuel is telling us that she's not Tmeah. But if you're asking a different question about whether or not she can still maintain her Zayin Nekiyim when she saw a Kesem that's Vadai Ba Migufa, so there's Dam coming out of her Makar. Is that called a Yom Naki? You know, you could hear two sides to the coin. You might say, well, you know, Yom Naki already is that has to do not with Dine, you know, Tuma Labaila and Isa Labaila. That has to do with the fact that there's no Dam coming out of her Makar. And here we know there is Dam coming out of her Makar. No, Vos, the Torah says that she's only Asur Labaila if she had Argosha, so she was lacking Argosha, but the Dam is definitely identified without a suffix as Dam Migufa. That, says the Yeshuas Yaakov, would undermine her Zayin Nekiyim. So again, Rav Osai, what we're pointing out here is that the story of the Sidrei Tara is an ongoing story. It's not just a Lomdisha analysis and an answer to a technical question why Shmuel had to add his drasha to Rabbi Akiva and why his Yalfusa is different than Rabbi Akiva and how they're addressing two different issues. But there may be a fundamental difference between the halachas of Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is going to nullify this status of Re'ez Dam completely, he's going to undermine it, and it's not called Re'ez Dam because we don't know where it came from. And the Torah says, if you don't know where it came from, you're innocent until proven guilty, and we can assume it came from elsewhere, so that's not Dam, that's not Re'ez Dam. So Rabbi Akiva is undermining and neutralizing the Re'ez Dam. Shmuel, on the other hand, is admitting that there's a Re'ez Dam. But what? It's not Metamia, which means it doesn't generate the Iser of Nida Labaila, but it might be a Riyas Dam insofar as Zayin Nekiyim is concerned. So this Machlokas Achronim here between the Yeshuas Yaakov and those who argue with the Yeshuas Yaakov, which might be a Machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, except that, as I told you before, the Ramah is very complicated because he's limiting his discussion to the first 3 days. So therefore I'm inclined to think that fundamentally the Ramah is on the same page as the Mechaber, and as a general rule, he is in favor of Tliya to salvage the Zayin Nekiyim, except that he's very hesitant to apply Tliya in the first 3 days when she has a Mayan Pasuah. The Yeshuas Yaakov, for one, is certainly on the page of Re'ez Dam. This is a Re'ez Dam, even though it's a Kesem. You know, it's a funny kind of thing. If I would if I would test a quiz test for somebody who was studying Hilchus Nida and I wanted to trip him up, I would ask him the following question: where could you find a case of a kesem that is soser zayin nekiyim midoraisa? And the student would say to me, Rebbe, with all due respect, you're crazy. You're off your rocker. By definition, a kesem is derabbanan. How could it be soser zayin nekiyim doraisa? That paradox is impossible. And here we see it in the Yeshuas Yaakov. But again, only within the context, I think, of the Sidri Tara. That now that the Sidri Tara is pointing out that Shmuel is on a whole different plane, and he's addressing a whole different, he's on a different radar screen. He wants to know what happened, Shmuel, if you had a Re'iyastam that's Vadei Migufa, but it's lacking Hargasha. And the Torah, with its infinite wisdom, decided that this is not going to be Metami Olabayla. It doesn't mean that Shmuel, therefore, is saying it's not Dam Nida. It is Dam Nida. And for certain dinim and tumah v'tara, it will be accepted and valid and recognized as dam nida. And that's where the Yeshuas Yaakov pins it on this halacha of stiras zayin nikiy. Okay. But now we get to the main topic for our discussion today. And that is, how do we understand the case of kesem in its relationship to Shmuel? Meaning, kesem means, you know what? She didn't have Argosh. Is that really so? So again, we're raising a very radical question here. We're kicking up a lot of dust today. Is it possible that even though this was a kesem, nevertheless it was Argosh? And I never would have suggested such a thing if not for Rashi. But Rashi seems to say it. The Gemara tells us on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis that Shmuel, even though he darshins bibsara, achintargish bibsara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, the last line on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Modeh Shmuel, she tmeya, midrabbana. Now again, when Shmuel says that she's, when Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti says that Shmuel is mod, that she's made drabbanon, you know, you could go in many different directions. What you would probably say is that drabbanon created some sort of a new entity called ksamim, and they completely lifted the requirement of hargasha, and we have to see why they would do such a thing. But Rashi takes another path. Rashi says that the Rabbanon are going to be worried about a suffix that the Torah itself was not worried about. And that is, maybe she really did have Argosha. That's pretty wild. What do you mean she did have Argosha? Was she comatose? I mean, she doesn't claim that she had Argosha. Now, Rabbosai, this reminds me a lot of the Crazy Uplasi. Remember the Crazy Uplasi? He called it a Safek Atzum. That was his introduction to Hilchas Nida. The Gemara says that in two scenarios, we're worried about Argosha. Even though, Pashta, she didn't have Argosha. So she claims. One is the case of Ro Adam Machmas Tashmish. So after Tashmish, she does what it's called a Kinuach. And she finds Dam on the Kinuach. So we know it's Dam Machmas Tashmish. No, but she didn't have Argosha. And Shmuel is saying that if there's no Argosha, she's not Tmei Elabayla. So the Gemara says, Modeh Shmuel. In this case, Shmuel is Modeh. Why? Dilma Argosha v'lavadayte. She mistakenly attributed this Argosha to the Shamash, and therefore she said, I didn't have Argosha. But she really did have Argosha. You know, the psychology, we could write a whole textbook on the psychology of Argosha. The Gemara gives another case. She did an internal bedika. Ba'omek, not the case of Kinuach after Tashmish, and she finds down. No, but there was no Argosha. So Gemara says, Dilma Argosha v'lavadayt. Comes along the crazy place, and he says, I have a suffix otzum. How do you understand this, Gemara? Is the Gemara talking about a case where she had a Argosha, and she admits to that claim, she makes that claim, but we're going to try to convince her that maybe she didn't have Argosha, because maybe the Argosha came from the Shamash and it wasn't dam yotza mimok. She made a bedikah, and she says she had argosha. No, we're going to convince her, so to speak, that it's not argosha of dam yotza, but rather it's argosha of the aid. That's one way of learning the sugya. The other way of learning the sugya is that she denies that she had argosha, and we're going to convince her that she had argosha. This is the sofik atum of the crazy place Rabbi Yonis and I. But she said he comes to the conclusion, and he quotes the Trumas HaDeshet, and that goes to my money and others, that even if she's claiming she didn't have argosha, we're going to have to convince her, so to speak, I'm just using that as a phrase, that she had argosha. So Rabosai comes out that according to the conclusion, the final conclusion of the crazy placey for one, there are situations where she denies that she had argosha, and yet we assume she did have argosha. Rashi is going to take this one step further. And Rashi is going to say, forget about bedika, and forget about tashmish. Let's just talk about a classical kesem. She finds a kesem on a chalok. To the best of her knowledge, she had no argosha. Says Rashi, okay, the Torah says she didn't have argosha. That's Shmuel, that's his drasha. But the Rabbanan say differently. What do the Rabbanan say? Dilma argosha v'lav adait. So that which we saw in the sugya of bedika of an aid, or ro'edam machmas tashmish, exactly these four words, did I count them correctly? Dilma argosha v'lav adait. Rashi takes that phrase and pushes it into Ksavim Durabanan. The Yesoda Yesodas that underlies Ksavim Durabanan is Dilma Argish of Alavadaita. Now, bells go off in your head as soon as you see this Rashi, because if there's a Dilma Argish of Alavadaita, then you're talking about a Sofik Doraisa. Now, it's true. The Torah says that until she has Argosha, we don't raise these fakes. Could be in a case of aid or tashmish, maybe the Torah itself would recognize this possibility that she had argosha. I don't know. But now we're going a step further. We're talking about a case in which she clearly doesn't have argosha. She finds a keser. And yet Rashi's saying, Dilma argosha v'lav adaita. You know, this raises new vistas for us. There's a possibility that what Rashi is saying is that where the Torah said Sofek Lekula, the Rabbanan are saying Sofek Lechumra. But the implication is that we may really be looking at a Re'ias Dam with a Hargosha. Again, I always have to emphasize, this is for myself, over and over again. This doesn't mean that the Torah says she had Hargosha. The Torah doesn't even say she might have had Hargosha. None of that is true. Otherwise, Shmuel goes down the tubes. I mean, Shmuel says she didn't have argosha, period. And the Torah says she's Tahora. But the Rabbanon want to say that, you know what? Maybe she did have argosha. So what the Rabbanon are doing, are they are creating, according to Rashi, a suffix which the Torah didn't recognize. But if you grant the authority to the Rabbanon to create a suffix which the Rabbanon didn't recognize, which the Torah didn't recognize, then it becomes a suffix d'oraisa. Meaning, if you want to ask yourself the question, what is Ksamim? Is it a new entity which the Rabbanan created, or is it the old entity of the Torah? I think Rashi is telling you clearly it's the old entity of the Torah. The Torah would have said she's Tahora because she didn't have any argosha. The Rabbanan is saying, well, maybe she did have argosha. But if she did have argosha, which the Rabbanan are worried about, then they're worried about a bona fide, full-fledged Tumah d'oraisa. Tumas Nida. This is not some sort of new creation, a new baby that's born here. It's the old Tumas Nida. Ella what? Where was the argosha? The Rabbanan is saying she had argosha. Maybe she had argosha. But if maybe she had argosha, then we're dealing with Tumah d'oraisa. Again, I can't overemphasize. She's not Tumah d'oraisa. No one should misunderstand me when I say Sofek Doraisa. I don't mean Sofek Doraisa. Midoraisa, she's Tahora, and that's it, final. But what the Rabbanan are saying, we're going to create a Sofek Doraisa which the Torah doesn't recognize. But again, if you grant the Rabbanan that authority to create such a Sofek, then what we're worried about is Argosha. And if we're worried about Argosha, Midorabbanan, then we're talking about a full-fledged, old-fashioned Nida.
Isn't that about Tosif?
Oh, that's an excellent question about Bal Tosif. We have to see about Asus Yaglat Torah. You know, are the Rabbanon authorized to create Isurim? And that's not Bal Tosif, but they can't create new mitzvahs, and that would be Bal Tosif. You know, Rabbi, we have a discussion here at 9 o'clock in the morning about what we call Derech HaLimud. So one of the questions we came up with was, and you might be shocked by this, how could the Rabbanon create a mitzvah of Megillah? That should certainly be Bal Tosif. How could the Rabbanon create a mitzvah of Chanukah? That should be Bal Tosif. And Rav Soloveitchik claims that that's exactly what the Gemara's question was in Masechet Megillah Daf Yudal. How could they do such a thing? So that's for a different discussion. But my only point is that Rav Soloveitchik assumes that if they're creating a Siyag LaTorah, because one day maybe she will have Hargosh and she won't admit it, or she won't notice it, or whatever, she won't record it, or she won't claim it, or she won't reveal it, that's what the Rabbanu were worried about. That comes under Siyag. But if the Rabbanu would create a new mitzvah, that comes under Bal Tosif. And the Rav tries to explain, so why isn't Megillah Bal Tosif? Are you with me on that? So Rabosai, it comes out that according to Rashi, if the Rabbanon are assuming Hargosha, or at least recognizing the viable possibility of Hargosha, then we're talking about what I call old-fashioned need. What do I mean by old-fashioned need? Very often, you can ask the following question. We haven't gotten to it in our 9 o'clock class yet, so I'm giving a little preview of coming attractions for Yechiel and Alan here. We're going to talk about what I call Din Chadash or Din Yashan, meaning when the Rabbanon created Din, is an extension of the old Din or it's a brand new Din? I'll just throw out an example again, but it's not for now. This is for my 9 o'clock class. If anybody wants to join, you're always invited. What happens in Trumas Yerokos? Is Trumas Yerokos a new din of Hafrashas Truma? The Torah doesn't recognize Truma, Hafrashas Truma on Yerokos. Well, no, it's the old din. The Rabbanon just extended it to include Yerokos. Or, for example, Chametz in the fifth hour. You know, there's Chametz in the fifth hour, Chametz in the sixth hour. Are they extending Chametz? Are they creating a whole new entity? And this is called Din Chadash Din Yashan. There's Chalas Chutzlartz, it could be Chalas Chutzlartz, it's a whole new entity, it's not Chal. The Rabbanon are not just extending Chal, because Chalas Chutzlartz, according to some, is not Tevel, there's no Isu Tevel. You're allowed to eat from the Isa even before your Mafresh, which in Chal Doraisa you can't do, that's a Chir of Misa Midesh Mai. By the way, Chal is in this week's parasha, so we could mention Chal. So what is Ksam? Is Ksamim a brand new entity? I mean, it doesn't have the conditions that the Torah set for Tumas Nida, and she's not a Surah Labaila, and the Rabbanon created a whole new entity called Ksamim, and it might operate with its own rules and regulations. We might even come to the conclusion that in the case of Tliya, or the possibility of Tliya, the Rabbanon didn't even create that institution called Ksamim. Or no. Basically, Ksamim is the old-fashioned Isur Nida. So let's just speak about Shmuel now. According to the Sidrei Tara, the way Rashi understands Shmuel in Ksamim Derabbanan, what Derabbanan are saying here is that maybe there was Hargosha. So even though the Torah is not worried about that. So in this article, in this essay of Rav Schechter, he claims, based on Yerushalmi and Orla, that this issue about when the Rabbanan are creating a suffix which the Torah doesn't recognize is an issue in what's called Dmai. Because on a Doraisa level, if I buy Tvua from an Amoritz, I assume, based on Rov, that he was Mafresh Trumas or Maisres. Because Rov Amoratzim Ma'asrim, which means that there's no Isur Tevel. The Rabbanan said, let's worry about those Amoratzim out there who are in the minority, the silent minority, that aren't Mafresh Trumas or Maisres. And that's called Dmai. Now, how do we view Dmai? Do we view it as a new Iser, a new entity, which the Rabbanon created? The Torah says it's not Tevel. Or do we say no? What the Rabbanon are doing is, they are suspending the original principle of Achrei Rabim Lahatos, which would tell me that it's not Tevel, and they are entering into that Moch Dachuk here of the minority of Amoratzim, who are what? Ami Oretz, who are not Ma'asrim, And if we focus on that minority, and the Rabbanan say we have to be choshesh for that, where the Torah was not, then we create a whole entity of teva, which the Rabbanan say is tevel doraisa. What do I mean it's tevel doraisa? It's not tevel doraisa, but we're going to treat it as if it was tevel doraisa. And the nafkamina rabosa is going to be in the case of bittul, if it gets mixed up in the tarobas. Because normally when we have an Isidra Rabbanan, we can say if it gets mixed up in it, you know, chad betray in one and two, or maybe in certain cases where min b'mino, min b'shenimi, we might require shishin, whatever it is. But we're not going to apply the principle that applies to trumas of maizris, machmas chumrasam, of bittul b'meya, or mittul b'masayin. That we shouldn't apply to tmai, because tmai is only an Isidra Rabbanan. So if you had an Isidra Raisa, like for example Arla or Truma, then we upgrade, because the Chumras HaAveira, we upgrade the requirement of Bittul. But we're not going to do so for an Isidra Rabbanan. But if Rashi, if we apply, shall we say, the logic of Rashi from Dilma Argisha, Balama Daite, that we're going to be worried about something which the Torah wasn't worried about. The Torah assumes that if she doesn't know about Argosha, there is no Argosha, with various exceptions, but in Ksamim at least. And now the Rabbanan come along and say, but we do have to worry about Midrabbanan, we do have to worry about Argosha. Then Midrabbanan, we do have to worry about Miut Amearat Amearat Shaloma Asrimhe. So where did Rav Shechter get this whole idea of comparing Ksamim to the issue of Dmai? I mean, that's like pretty wild. So he finds it in a Yerushalmi in Arla. And this you'll see on page Kuf Ayin Vav. On the right side, on the bottom. Bottom meaning in the text itself. The bottom part of the text. Now, what the Yerushalmi does is, It has a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, which is based on a Mishnah Nida Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis about Ksamim, in which Rabbi Meir is more machmir in Ksamim, and the Chachamim are more mekil in Ksamim. And Yerushalmi goes on to tell us that with regard to what's called Trumas Maser Shel Dmai, is Ola B'Echad Umea, we jack up the requirement of Bittul all the way high to 101, says Yerushalmi, you should identify that Mishnah in Trumas Maaser Shel Dmai with the sheet of Rabbi Meir in Ksamim. And Tzarech Lahavin, on the top of the second column here on Kuf Tzayin Vav, Tziruf HaInyanim, Adadi. We don't understand why the Yerushalmi is connecting two things that ostensibly have nothing in common. The issue of whether you require Meir V'Echad in Bittul with Trumas Maaser Shel Dmai. And again, keep in mind, Rabosai, Trumas Maaser Shel Dmai means that if Dmai is to be viewed, again, Midrabbanan, I always have to add that proviso, as Tevel, then the Truma that you took off from that Tevel, in the case of Dmai, is real Truma. And if it's real Truma, and this would reflect the Shita Rabbi Meir, then we have to require the same hijack requirements of Bittul that we require to Truma itself. Truma, as we said, because of its Chumra, that it is also to Zoram Be'isur Misa Videi Shamayim. Therefore, we have to jack up the requirement Bittul. Shishim is not going to be enough. You're going to need Me'er V'Echad. So too, with regard to Truma on Dmai, right, because Dmai itself, Midrabbanan, is also viewed as Tevel, and therefore the Truma that's taken off of the Dmai is to be viewed as Truma, and defined categorically as Truma, which requires Bittul B'Me'er V'Echad. Says Yerushalmi, that's only Rabbi Meir Lishitaso, so to speak, who is very machmir in Ksamim. And Rav Shechter wants to understand what's that all about. And he says the following, that according to Rashi, it would seem that the machlokas in Ksamim is a fundamental machlokas as to how we define Ksamim. Rabbi Meir is going to define Ksamim as Nida Doraisa, I'm sorry, as a Nida Derabbanan, but But when I say a nida d'rabbanan, I mean it's a real tumas nida. Why? Because dilma argasha, says Rashi, v'lava daite. And in the case of Dmai, we're going to say Dilma lo hifrish. Even though, just like in Nida, the Torah says we don't have to worry about Dilma Argasha, and she's Tahora, so too in Dmai, we don't have to worry about the mute of Ami Oretz. We can rely on Rov Ami Oretz. The Torah says, Achri Rabim Lahatos. The Rabbana want to consider this a Suffolk where the Torah did not recognize the Suffolk. And in order to create this kind of siag la Torah, the Rabbanon create a suffix where the Torah doesn't recognize that suffix. You know, and by the way, this reminds me, but again, please don't make the equation, but there's a shita Rabbi Meir called Smoch Miuta de Palga, Smoch Miuta Lechazok of Avile Palgal Paga, which means that even though the Torah says Acher Rabim Lahatos, Rabbi Meir in many cases is going to be Choshish Lemiut. On a Doraisa level. Because the Torah gave the power of Rov, Lechora, to undermine and neutralize a Chazaka. So if it's Rov against Chazaka, Rov is stronger than a Chazaka. Yet, Rabbi Meir is saying, well, true, Rov is stronger than a Chazaka, but that doesn't mean it completely defeats the Chazaka. If I can add a little bit of strength to the Chazaka, I can tip the scale in favor of the Chazaka against the Rov, and comes along Rabbi Meir and he says, Chayshinu l'miuta. We have to worry about the mute. So let's say you have 60-40. And the Torah says, well, let's rely on 60 against 40. But Rabbi Meir says, well, what about the 40? And not only that, the Rov is smacked up against a Chazaka. So take the Chazaka, put it together with the 40, the mute, and before you know it, the Rov is pushed down. So I'm just wondering, you know, this Rabbi Meir seems to have this almost consistent approach in which, despite all these Chazokas and Roves and assumptions that the Torah works with, nevertheless we should be Choshesh for the other possibility. Correct. So that's the sugya. That's exactly the sugya in Masechta Chulin. How does Rabbi Meir understand the principle of Achirav Lahatos? When does it work? But again, that's not for me today. But I'm just saying. All that I was saying was I just had a thought that crossed my mind, you know, and that was that Rabbi Meir is famous for saying Chayshin l'miyuta. You know, it could be that Rov, according to Rabbi Meir, only works when there is no Chazaka. Not this way, not that way. And therefore Rov comes in. And then Rabbi Meir says, but if there is a Chazaka and the Rov is against Chazaka, now we have to add the miyut. But be that as it may, Rabbi Meir relates to the mute. What word is it? Recognizes the mute, or what do you say?
Takes it into account.
He takes the mute into account. And even though we have Rov, and we're seeing something similar here again, just by external comparison, not really internal comparison, to Rov Hamayaris Maasrin Haim, and Rabbi Meir is yelling and screaming. Well, what about the mute? So again, the Torah might say, well, we can rely on Rov, but the Rabbanan are going to say, well, let's look at the mute. And once we look at the mute, it becomes a suffix. Now again, you can't call it a suffix d'oraisa in the technical sense, because midoraisa we were machria that suffix based on Rov, but nevertheless, it's enough to create on a Rabbanan level a bona fide suffix d'oraisa. On a Rabbanan level, it's a suffix d'oraisa. And the same thing could apply in Ksamim, because Rabbi Meir is very machmir in Ksamim. And at this point, we want to take a look at a fascinating sugya in Masechta Bava Metzia in the parak that deals with Hashavas Avedei L'Metzias. And there the Gemara says that there's something called Simonim D'Rabbanan. And what does that mean? So there are different levels of Simonim. There's something called the Simon Muvhak, which is absolutely rare. And that's considered a Simon, according to everyone, Midoraisa. Then is something called a Simon She'edo Muvok, which is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's a Simon or not. So for example, again, don't take this literally, because you really have to know the sugyas inside out, but let's say Makom, I can tell you where you found the object. Is that a Simon or not? It's not a Simon Muvok, but it might be recognized as a Simon. Or let's say, for example, I tell you how many of it you found. You know, you found two pens, not one pen. So that's a question whether minyan have these simon. And all this depends upon the sugya of simon. Now, everybody agrees that there's something called simonim derabbanan, And in Siman and Drabbanan, perhaps we could return an Aveda. But if that Aveda happens to be a get, and we don't know if he lost the get or she lost the get. If she lost the get, then she can get married to someone else, because the get in her hands is Tfisas Valashtar, is a raya that she was divorced, and then we'll allow her to get remarried. For that, we need Simonim Doraisa. We can't be Matur Neshes Ish with Simonim Derabon. And then in the middle of this whole hullabaloo, we have something called Simon Emtsai. In other words, it's not this way, and it's not that way. It's not an outstanding Simon, it's not a low Simon, but it's something down the middle. And there are two dais again as to whether Simon Emtsai is considered like a regular Simon, and therefore the Zman Yomer says that's only the Rabbanon, or whether we view it as a Simon Muvhak. Where do we place and how do we categorize the Simon Emtsai? So Rashi says in Masechta Bava Metzia that afil Zman Yomer Simon Emtsai lav da oraisa. Nevertheless, even if it's lav da oraisa, with regard to derabbanans, we can rely on that simon. And therefore, midrabbanan, yoil simon emtsai. And how does this work? Rashi says there's something called heim amru veheim amru, which means that if the rabbanan created an isur, and the only way of solving that Isur and removing it is through a Simon Emtsai, the Rabbanan could say, well, we created that Isur and we created Simon Emtsai. Okay, fine. Uladas Rashi, if you're with me on page Kuf Ayin Zayin, Nir Lefarish Bekavonas HaYushalmi Biorla, that this is the Machlokas Chin Rabbi Meir Chachon. In other words, that even though on a Doraisa level, certainly Min Bimbino would be Batal B'Shishim, but the Rabbanu were Machmer in the case of Truma, and they required Mea. In the case of Orla, they required Masayim. And the basis for this Chumra is that these Isurim have certain dimensions in which the Torah was more strict than the Torah was with regard to other Isurim. So as we said before, because Truma has an Isur Zorus, which is a very severe, harsh Isur, Orla is Osur Bahanah, fine. So therefore the Rabbanan jacked up the requirement of Bittul. They required in the case of Truma, Bittul B'Mea, in the case of Orla, Bittul B'Masayim. So now we take a look at an Isur Derabbanan. Let's say we had Truma Derabbanan. In the case of Truma Derabbanan, you don't have this Chiyuv Misa that we spoke about before. There's no reason for such a Chumrah. Why would the din of Mea apply with regard to Truma Derabbanan? And the answer could be, according to what we established in Rashi here by Ksamim, that sometimes what the Rabbanan do is they create a Safik Doraisa where the Torah didn't recognize the Safik Doraisa. And once the Rabbanan create that Safik Doraisa, then what we're saying is that this might be Truma Doraisa, again on a Rabbanan level. But once the Rabbanan said it might be Truma Doraisa, then we have to apply the classical dinim of Truma Doraisa. This is what I called before a din yashan, meaning we're just extending the Doraisa. So Bidmai, he writes, Shemir Rabbanan Ichmiru Bola Duno Kesafek Tevel Doraisa. The Rabbanan considered Dmai a Safek Tevel Doraisa. Is Memela Yesh Lodana Trumas Dmai Kesafek Truma Doraisa? Right? If you have Safek Tevel, then you have Safek Truma. And that's going to be the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And that's why Rabbi Meir will apply the same yardstick of Bittul that applies to what? To Truma Doraisa, to Truma Derabbanan in the case of Dmai, because Truma Derabbanan in the case of Dmai is that Derabbanan considered it as if it was Tevel. If Derabbanan considered it as if it was Tevel, because the Amaretz was not Maser, then the Truma is Truma. And if it's Truma, then you need Masai, you need Mea. On the other hand, the Chachamim insisted, no, that if the Torah relies on Rov, the Rabbanan also rely on Rov. And therefore, what we have now is not a Safek Tevel Doraisa, but this new entity which is called Mai, which is an Issur Drabbanan, and therefore its Truma is also only an Issur Drabbanan, and an Issur Drabbanan doesn't have the Chumas HaVeira, we're going to apply the principle of Bittul B'Shishim. There's no reason to jack up the requirement to Bittul B'Mea. And he wants to suggest that that's what the Gemara records in Bab Metzia Daf Nun Heimid Beis, and Machlok Shin Rameir L'Chachonim, about a Zar, whether if he eats Trumas Meiser of Demai, does he have to pay Chomesh? And Rabbi Meir says he's Chayav and Karen v'Chomesh. And the Chachomim deny it. And it's all a Shitasam, because since Rabbi Meir holds that Demai is considered Tevel, Midrabon, therefore the Truma of Demai is considered Truma, Dirabon. Therefore, the halacha is that a Zar who eats Truma of Meiser, he has to pay an additional payment of Chomesh, and that's going to apply even in the case of Demai, according to Rav Meir. The Chachamim, on the other hand, understand that there is no Safek Doraisa here of Tevel in the case of Demai, and therefore, we're not going to place this under the category and organize the restrictions as if it were Trumas Maser. Trumas Maser generates a chiyuv of chomesh, but this is not trumas maser. Even the rabbanon, it's not considered trumas maser. And that's what he writes here. Bizarre at the end of the paragraph on the left column, the top paragraph. He says, "Bizarre hochel trumas maser shel tmai nechleku Rabbi Meir v'chachomim kenal." Kenal meaning like the same framework that we presented earlier. Dil Rabbi Meir hol v'chmiru chachom b'tmai ladunu kisafik tevel doraisa is dino kido oraisa. Again, here I see he also adds the same thing. And therefore, the din of Chomesh applies as well. But l'chachomim, this is only a chumah d'rabbanon, I would call it a new entity, and therefore ochel chumah d'rabbanon, leket tosef is Chomesh, and therefore it's batel b'shishim. Now we jump back to Ksamim. Now there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachomim, in Nida Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, about a case where she finds a very large kesem. Now this large kesem is large enough to divide up into three different days. On each day she saw a kesem that has a kegris, because again the total volume of this kesem is three grisim. And now she passed through Gibel Yemei Ziva. So we could say now that perhaps she had a Re'ias Dam on each one of these 3 days. On the first day she had a Kesem of a Gris, on the second day she had a Kesem that added a second Gris, and etc. on the third day. So if that be the case, you're being very Machmir, and you're assuming that we treat the Kesem as if it were a Doraisa. Again, a Safek Doraisa, but nevertheless, the Rabbanon are considering it like a Safek Doraisa. If it's a Safek Doraisa, we have to assume the possibility that she saw 3 Re'ios on 3 consecutive days. That makes her into a Zava Gedola, which means she's going to require a full Zayin Nekiyah. So that's what he says here, that why does Rav Meir in the Mishnah require Zayin Nekiyah in such a case of a large Kesem? Ho'el v'chmiru chachomim b'ksamim ladunam kisafek Doraisa. And that means in the language of Rashi, Dilma Agashav Alavadaite, then we have to consider this as a Safek Doraisa. And Midoraisa, we have to assume that there's a possibility that she saw consecutively on 3 days, and this Kesem is the Sachakol of 3 different days, each one had a Kigris. The Chachamim deny it, because according to Chachamim, there's a separate Chumad Rabbanon of Ksamim, and in that context, we don't have to be machmir like a doraisa and assume that she saw 3 days consecutive. Now, all this is predicated on Rashi. As I told you at the outset, Rashi is a pretty, pretty revolutionary chiddush that the Torah doesn't rely on the possibility that she had argosha, and the Rabbanan do. That the Rabbanan are digging up the dirt here and creating a suffix where the Torah didn't recognize the suffix. The Torah was very satisfied to say that if she didn't have argosha, that's the end of the story, she didn't have argosha. And the Rabbanan said, no, maybe she did have argosha. That's Rashi. However, Tosis argues with Rashi. And this is the Tosis on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. The second Tosis on the page, which is really, in truth, the first Tosis on the page, but they accidentally printed one Tosis off the page. Modes Shmuel sheitmeyam the Rabbanim Pirush beKudris Dilma Agashav Alav Adai to the Ein Nir. Tosis disagrees with Rashi. Says that Filu Muchzaklan Shelo Hirgisha Tmeya Hoil VeRasa Dam Nidus. The Issa Drabbanan, the Tuma Drabbanan of Kesem, applies even if we know for sure that she didn't have a hargosh in the language of Tosis, muksalon, muksakla shalo hirgisha. Nevertheless, she's tmeh. Now, we at the outset of this discussion today, we mentioned the Sidrei Tara. And the Sidrei Tara in the same Simon, Kuf Tzadi, but here towards the beginning of the Simon, he writes, based on Iran, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that there is such a thing called Vaday Lo Hirgisha. Meaning, Rashi is saying, well, Dilma Argisha. But according to the Iran, there's a Mitzius, there's a scenario in which we know for sure she didn't have Argosha. And that's called Rasa tipos damim al yidei lecha levana. And I think what's going on here, again, this will require a lot more research, that the dam is covered over by a lecha, by some sort of discharge. In such a case, she couldn't have had a hargosh on the dam itself. And in such a case, B'chai Gavna, he writes, on the sixth line down on Kufay and Vav, I efsha b'shum panim lios la hargosha. Lishitas Rashi, lo gazru b'chai Gavna. This would not be a Tumah d'Rabbanan, because we know for sure she didn't have hargosha. But according to Tosfos, yesh la hachmir, it is a Tumas k'somim d'Rabbanan. The kol isha sheroa dam min ha-mokar, tmeah mid'Rabbanan, afilu b'muksak lan de'bevadeh lo hargisha. So Rabosai, right now we have an afkemina in which Rashi is mekil and Tosfos is machmir. And that makes a lot of sense, because Tosis uses the word afilu, right? Afilu muksaklan, meaning Tosis wants to be machmir. Rashi would say, well, muksaklan de lo argisha, and then there's no basis for a tumah d'rabbanan. Tosis is saying, no, afilu muksaklan shelo argisha, the chai gavna that we know for sure she couldn't have possibly had argosh on this dam. Nevertheless, she's tmeah d'rabbanan. And why? Because it's dam min hamok. You know, by the way, I mean, this is on the side. You know, there's a very famous article of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in a journal called Noam, in which he, for certain cases of a woman who couldn't get out of her nidus situation because of her cycle, and therefore she was an aguna, basically. Her husband would have to divorce her.
Shofaris.
Right, the dam is shofaris. Now, in the case of Dam Shofaris, this is very reminiscent of this Ran, because what Rav Shlomo Zalman was trying to achieve was a situation in which Vaday Lo Hirgisha. The only thing is, he can't just leave it at that, because Vaday Lo Hirgisha is okay according to Rashi, it's not going to help me with Tosfos. But the answer is that even Tosfos, in the case of Vaday Lo Hirgisha, requires that the Dam come out of her body in a way that it could be Bibsara. And since it could be Bibsara, and it lends itself to Hargosha, therefore, the Rabbanim would be metama her even without a hargosha, even if we know for sure she couldn't have had a hargosha. But it has to be dam that comes out of her body in a way that it comes through her basar, b'psara, and she could have hargosha. The innovation of Rav Shlomo Zalman through Shofaris was to create a scenario in which the dam would never touch the basara in such a way that it would lend itself to hargosha. And that he held would be mutter, even according to Tosfos, even on a Drabbanan level. Okay, fine. I mean, again, I'm not... it's a 40-page tshuva, you can iron shove if you have the time for it. So Achen here, on the bottom of Kufay in Zayin, L'dasa Tosfos he efshal lomar kol hanal. This whole presentation as to whether or not Dam Bekesem is, as Rashi would have it, a suffix d'oraisa because of hargosha, or it's just a chumra d'rabbanan, that explanation doesn't work for Tosfos, because Tosfos could not possibly assume that there is a doraisa here, even a suffix doraisa, because Tosa is saying that the Iser Tumah of Ksamim applies even when we know for sure she didn't have argosh. It's absolutely certain. In other words, the Torah for sure would not be metame this, and even if you would be choshesh for the wildest suffix in the world, the Torah would not be metame it, because there is no suffix. There's not even a 1% chance that she had argosh. And yet Tosa says that it's Tomei v'Toras Tumas Ksamen, which means, throw out the old definition of Din Yashan that Rashi was operating with, and with going back to the original Dam Midus, it has to be a Din Chadash. Shedam Nido Metami v'Drabonin Afilu below Argosha. And when we say below Argosha, Afilu below Sofik Argosha, is Memela, we have to go back to the drawing board and come up with another Chakira, and that Chakira in Hilchos Tumas Ksamim is going to have a parallel Chakira in Hilchos Tumas Meiser Shel Tmai in order to justify the interdependence of the Yerushalmi. And here we have a different Chakira. We're moving on now to page Kuf Ayin Ches. We have what's called Sibas HaTakono and Geder HaTakono. In other words, very often there's a two-stage process that differentiates fundamentally between stage one and stage two. In stage one, you ask yourself, why make this Takono? Why make this Gzera? Then we get to stage two, but what is the takana? Formulate it, define it. And it's not always the same. The Mirza Shem in our 9 o'clock classes, we're going to have a whole discussion about this. I give you my personal classic example of this chakir. The Torah says that the reason why we wear tefillin is because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Tosfos in Masechta Megillah asks, maybe women should be obligated in tefillin. Just like we say, Afhein hoyu bosar nes. And Tosfos, by the way, understands that the reason why a woman is chayav in matzah is because they too were redeemed from Mitzrayim, blah, blah, blah. Again, there's a lot to talk about here. I'm just oversimplifying something that's very complicated. So Tosfos says, the same way women are obligated in matzah, they should be obligated in tefillin. Why? Because tefillin is also Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to say the following, that you're right, the Siba of tefillin is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the Geder HaMitzvah of tefillin is not Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whereas in the case of Matzah, it's not only that the Siba Satakola is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the mitzvah itself, the essence of the mitzvah is Yetzias Mitzrayim. When I eat the matzah, but no one's going to say that I have to see myself as leaving Mitzrayim when I wear tefillin. So there's something that you call the backdrop to the mitzvah, and then there's the formulation of the mitzvah itself in its essence, in its definition. So now we want to ask the following. There is no question about the Siba of Tumas Ksamim, and that is Suffolk. We don't know, is this Dami Gufa, is it Dami Alma? That's the way Tosus understands the Tumah of Ksamim. And this fits in very well in the Sidri Taurus perspective regarding Rabbi Akiva. Again, not Shmuel, because Shmuel is saying that I know it came Migufa, but let's take stage number one, let's see if we can square off with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't know if it came Migufa or if it came from somewhere else. The Torah says, Sofei Doraisa Lakula in such a case. And we're going to assume that it came in an Alma and not Migufa. Comes along the Rabbanon, and they say, you know what? It's still a Sofei. There's still a reason to doubt maybe it came Migufa. So that's definitely the Sibas HaTakon. But now we have to ask a different question. What's the Geder HaTakana? Was the Geder HaTakana Sofek? Because again, the Sofek Dilma Migufa is the reason for the takana, or dilma no, although the sibas ha-takana is safek, the getter ha-takana is vadai. The Rabbanan created this new entity called tumas ksamim as a vadai tum. Again, the Rabbanan. Yesh l'statek b'ksamim on kufayin ches. The often sheyesh safek migufa safek mi'alma im tumas ha-ish b'chaygavni b'geder toras safek. Oh, the name of the afal gav the timer. The gzerezu he machmas asofe dilma. The atzma shalatakoni b'toras vaday mi divrehem. Again, it's all mirabon. And he wants to suggest an afkemina. I found this a little bit strange. I thought that he should come up with something more fundamental here. But when you make a brach, what happens? She goes to mikveh after she finds a kesem. And should she make a brach on that tefillah? So we have a principle called Safek Drabbanan. I'm sorry. Safek Brachos Lahakim. And therefore, if the geder of Tumas Ksomim is a Tumas Safek, means there's a tzad that she doesn't even the Drabbanan she's not tveya, then there should be a tzad to say that she doesn't make a brach on this. Elo, what are you going to tell me? But maybe it came Migufa. That's only Safek. And on a suffix, we don't make a bruch. See, here, if I had the ability to write a footnote, I would say Ein Radbaz Hilchas Brachas, because the Radbaz holds that when the suffix is in the mitzvah itself, then we don't apply the principle of suffix brachas lahakim. Because since we're going to be machmir, we're going to require her to do tefillah on such a tefillah, she makes a bruch. That's the Radbaz. But the Machaber disagrees. And Shulchan Aruch says that if it's a suffix in the mitzvah itself, then it's a suffix in the bracha, and we have to leave out the bracha. And yet, a bunch of achronim will tell you, halacha l'maisa, amongst them one of my favorites, the Aruch HaShulchan, that isha mevareches b'shas tefillah afilu al ksamim. But the Darkei Tshiva, he came from Hungary, he said that no, there's another opinion that says you don't make a brach on tefillah on ksamim. I don't know what the minig is today. I think the minig is that she does make a brach, but I'm not sure. And she says, and Rav Shechter claims, but b'hachi pligi, why should she make a brach according to the Yishulchan? Why should she not make a brach according to the Achronim quoted in the Darkei Tshiva? And the answer is, it depends how you learn the getter atakana. The sivas atakana was suffix. Maybe it came migufa. But the getter atakana might be vadai. And if it's a vadai tuma midrabbanan, then she makes a brach on the vadai tvila midrabbanan. If it's only a safek tuma midrabbanan, then she leaves out the brach. And now Rav Shechter wants to say that this hakira, as to whether or not the takana derabbanan, this new entity, according to Tosfos, of Tumas Ksomim is b'toris vadai, b'toris sofek, is the subject of a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, or shall we say more precisely, between Rabbi Meir and Chanina ben Antignos, in Masechta Nida Daf Hei Amud Aleph. So before we get into the details of that machlokas, I will just tell you the bottom line. And this is, if you count on the right column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up from the bottom, Dilei Rabbi Meir, Af shetama chumer b'sofik somim, v'yeshema shema dam ze migufa, mikol mekom atzma shel atakona, meaning geder atakona, hoysa b'toris vada, shemetzias kesem, mitamias ha'isha, midrabbanan b'toras vada. And then if you fast forward about 10 lines, on the left column, Asha'en Kein L'Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos, Kol Atzma Shal Gzeras Ksomim Lo Hoysa Ela B'toras Sofek. It means that Kesem is Mitame B'toras Sofek. And based on this, we understand that Rabbi Meir goes in one direction, and Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos in another direction. And this has to do with the halacha of Misulekes Domin. Right, there are a number of women who belong to categories, the common denominator of all these categories is that Mesulekes Dam. We assume that she's not going to have Dam. Now, in the case of Mesulekes Damim, we have a principle called Dayon Shatan. Normally, when a woman finds Dam, we assume that the Dam might have been held up a little bit for 24 hours in the Beis Hachitzah before it came outside, and therefore she's Tmei Olam Afreya. But in the case of Mesulekes Damim, they didn't institute that din of Olam Afreya, but rather Dayon Shaitan. And it's machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos with regard to Ksamin, whether or not in Ksamin we also apply the principle of Dayon Shaitan, or do we say no, that Kesem is more Chamur and it's Metame Lamafreya Me'es La'es. So he tells you to look. What time is it? Oh, I see we have to. Okay, we'll try to. My goal today is to get to Kuf Pei. Okay, we'll see if we can and we can. Maybe we'll fast forward to the punchline because I see it's getting late. But let me just say this. He tells you to look in Tosfos on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskil Rabbi Meir. And the question is whether or not we should be more machmir in Roa Kesem than we do in Rias Dam. And he says that this is Machlok Shin Rabbi Meir Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos. And it could be that a Kesem would be considered like Ziva, and she might have a din of a Zava or not. And that would have an impact also on whether we apply the principle of Dayan Shaitan or we say Me'es La'es. The answer is that Rabbi Meir holds that once the Rabbanu were misaking this Takon, it becomes a Takonis Vada. And if a Takonis Vada, we're not going to introduce the Sfeikas that normally apply with regard to Zava, with regard to Dayan Shaitan, a Mesulekes Dam. But if, on the other hand, we assume that this whole Tumah, as Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos insists, is only B'Torah Safek, therefore, we can apply the principle of Shema Ra'as Adam, Shema Lo Ra'as Adam, and we can use all sorts of kulos based on Safek. Okay, so we really have to go through all these kulos. They have to do a tliya, the case of shukshel tabachim, the case of pachos mikagris and makolas, and all this kind of stuff. Fine. So let's see if we can fast forward now to the punchline. Vinire on page kuf pei aleph, the zoi kavanas Yerushalmi. That there's a parallel between the machlokes Rabbi Meir and Chachamim in Ksamim, and the issue of how much we need for Bittul in the case of Trumas Maaser Shel Dmai. Ke'en mai de pligi begeder gzeres Chachamim de Ksamim pligi nam begeder achum v'dmai. In other words, the same Chakira structurally we can apply to Dmai. How do we understand Dmai? Dmai is based on the possibility that maybe there was no Afrashas Maaser on the part of the Amoris who sold you the Tvua. But that's only a suffix. Did the Rabbanan institute Dmai as a Vadai, or they instituted as a Suffolk? The Siva Satakana was no doubt Suffolk, but what's the Geder Atakana? This becomes a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Why? Because after he purchased the Dmai, he was Mafris Truma and Maser, and Truma from the Maser of Dmai. And a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chacham is whether or not, if it's eaten by a zar, he has to add a chomesh. Dil Rabbi Meir gzeres Chacham d'mai ha'isa b'toras vada umemela. Once the Rabbanan created a vada, they required payment of a chomesh. You can't say I'm motzim mechavel v'raya if there's a vada. It's like any zar who eats truma b'shogeg has to add a payment of a chomesh. Achle Rabbanan, again, it would be more precisely Rab Chanina ben Antignos, but again, Rab Chanina ben Antignos is representing the Shita Chachamim. The Savi Dak Zera Hoysa Gamkin Bitora Sufik. Now, it's not only is the Siva because of Sufik, maybe it came without Hafrosha, and therefore he received it as Tevel. It's only Sufik and not a Vadai, and therefore he should be Potimin Achomish, because we have a din of Hamotzim Achavero, all of Haraya. Now the Gemara says we can derive conclusions about Trumas Maisa Shel Dmayin and Tarobas. Now let's see if we can figure this one out. This is a sugya in Masechta Beitza. And what happens is you have a Beitza Shanol de Biyantiv, which is Asura Midin Mukta, and then it fell into a mixture of other eggs, which are not Mukta. They were prepared before Yantiv. Then he took out something from this mixture and mixed it into a third mixture, or a second mixture, I guess we say, right? So Tosis points out there in the Sugyan Beitza that since we have a Sofek Isur Shenis Arev Berov, in other words, we take out one of the eggs from this first Tarovis, that's called a Sofek Isur, because we don't know if it's that Beitza that was Nolda B'yantif or not. So we have a Sofek on this Beitza. And then we mix it together with another mixture. Then he says it's Mutamidin Sveksfek. Why? Because when I pick up any egg from the second Tarovis, I don't know if it's the one egg that fell in. And even if it was the one egg that fell in for the first Tarovis, nevertheless, it itself is a product of a Tarovis. It's a Sofek. So we have two Sfekas here. On each Tarovis, we could have a Sofek.
Okay, all Osir.
What do you say?
Tavashi Yishnu Latir, and they should all be Osir. So there's no Bittul.
Yeah, so I guess the Gemara now is not assuming Tavashi Yishnu Latir for some reason. But in any event, Tosis is saying that, or alternatively, Rabbi, it could be that Tosis is assuming that Sfek Sveka is Matir, even a Dovash Eshel Matir. That itself is a big, gigantic machlok, if I remember correctly, how to define Sfek Sveka. But be that as it may, Hachinami, what do we want to get from this Tosis for our purposes? That Trumas Maisa Shel Dmai, Shenis Arev Berov, Ach Ein Bo Meil, let's say the mixture was 60 plus, but less than 100, so it depends. Can we apply the principle of Sfek Sveki here or not? Is Aliba de Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, that we understood that Tmai is Bitoras, Vadai, then we have Truma mixed up in one Taroves. And Truma in a Taroves requires Bitol B'Meir. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, that the Takona of Tmai is Bitoras Sofek, then we can say Sfek Sfek. Because number one, we don't know if that which he purchased from the Amoretz was Tevel or was already Chulin. And then we have a second Sofek, because now he went ahead and he was Mafish Truma. So he says, Masha Enkei Rav Chanina ben Antignos, what I just said now might not be right, let's just see. The Lokak Tam HaTakonu Hu Machmas HaSofek Elo Atzma Shel Takonas Dmai Hoysa B'Torah Sofek In Kei B'Trumas Maisa Shel Dmai Shenis Arva B'Chulim. Oh, so I wasn't off. Mistabra Loma De Lo Niboy Meo Levatla Dahavi Svek Svek Al Pishitas HaTosis B'Beitza Daf Gimelam In Beis. So it means like this, that when he's Mafrish Dmai, he's Mafrish, let's say, Truma from Dmai, that itself is Begeder Sofek, because we don't know if this Tevel or not. Now he takes this Truma's Maisishal Dmai and he mixes it together in a Tarovis. So once he mixes it in a second Tarovis, we now have a second Sofek. So we have one Sofek. We don't know if the original Truma's Maisishal Dmai was actually Truma or wasn't a Truma. All depends on whether the Amoritz who sold you the Tevel was selling you Tevel or was selling you ready Chulun. And then when that gets mixed up, that Trumas Maisa Shel Dmai into another Tarovis, we have another Sofek, anything I pull out. And therefore he says, there's no reason to require Bittul B'Meir. So it comes out that whether you require Bittul B'Meir in the case of Trumas Maisa Shel Dmai Shenis Arev is a plugta between Chachomim, or Rabbi Chanina ben Antigos, if you will, and Rabbi Meir. All this is the same identical machlokas as the machlokas between Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos and Rabbi Meir in Ksamim. Rabbi Meir is machmir in Ksamim as if it were Vadai, whereas Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is always going to consider it as Sofek, and then Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is always going to allow himself to be Mitzarev another Sofek and add the two sfeikas and so forth and so on. That's on Kuf Ayin Ches on the left column, because Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus understood that not only is the Sivas HaTakon a sfeik, but even the Geder HaTakon is sfeik. So I always treat Ksalim as sfeik. But Rabbi Meir, by contrast, holds that although the Sivas HaTakon was sfeik, the Geder HaTakon is Betoras Vadai. The Rabbanan created this new entity called Tumas Ksalim Betoras Vadai, and therefore we cannot be Mekil with other sfeikas. Is that very same issue about when the Rabbanon started with the Sofek? How did they end it? Did they end it with a Vade or not? That identical issue will determine the status of Trumas Meiser Shel Dmai. And many repercussions as far as Bittul and as far as Chiyuv Chomesh is concerned. Do we view it as Sofek because we began with the Sofek? Or do we say, no, we began with a suffix, but the Geder HaTakono is Betoras Vada, and therefore the Trumas Meiser Shel Dmai should be treated as Vada. We cannot be Mitzar for second suffix, and we cannot lower our standards of Bittul, and we have to require the payment of Chomesh in the case of a Shogun. So Rabosai, this is where we got up to about 2 months ago? I don't remember. Maybe it's even more than that. I don't know, time flies when you're having fun. But what we're up to now is Kuf Pei Aleph. This is part two of this gigantic Kudshas HaKsamim, and maybe Bezer Hashem will be able to finish it next week. Okay then? What's today? Today's Wednesday?
Yes.
All right, so I'll wish everyone a good Shabbos if I don't see you. Okay. And the Olam looked a little tired today. I don't know, I was Dafka very excited about this, but I don't know. Yechiel, you were following me. I don't know if anybody else was. It was Nimble or Nimier. All right. Okay.
That's because it was old. They already knew this.
Yeah, they knew it. That's it. Yeah, then you reminded this story. They say that the Beis Yosef fell asleep in the shir of the Arizal. So the Arizal says his neshama didn't need the shir, apparently. So.
Didn't want it to. The rest of us, we actually played a 4-week shoot. Like they say, the